Who has a praise to start out with this morning?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I love the Lord. He woke me up this morning. And guess what? I'm alive and he's alive and well.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's a praise. Yeah. Keith, what's your praise this morning?
It's the first time I drove this way from Texas City. And turning on the Keith Road, I took it way, way too fast. And I could have flipped.
Slow down.
Slow your road, man.
And you weren't even running late. Boy, I hope to. Amen. All right, just happy to get here. Karen, what's your praise?
I was able to come to Young at Heart yesterday and had a much, much needed break, and I had a wonderful time.
I kind of got there late, but I made it too, and I had a good time.
Yeah.
Huh? My hair. Yeah. You've been hanging around a long-haired, light brown lady, huh? Yeah.
You already got him a lady.
Yeah. Who else? Dum-dum-dum-dum. Clarissa, what's your praise?
I had a great time yesterday with Vicki. We got to finally get together and bake together, which we've been trying to do for longer than a month. But we finally freed up both of our schedules and made it happen. So,
well, you ought to have seen the mess they made back there. They had to be having fun because there was flour everywhere.
I mean, you didn't see the worst of it.
Well, they were having a good time. Yeah, good time. This is Show Your Love Sunday. Do you feel loved?
Yep.
Yes.
Very much.
I wasn't ready for this.
Be ready every day, man. Come on now.
I ain't ready to help you. Nobody.
You gotta be ready and Lord will back you up. What's wrong with you?
That little fella right there. Yeah.
You like the babies. They're always.
Well, hello. Good to see you back.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Gilbert's made it home. Gilbert. All right, good
that
deal.
Cowboy's ready to start powering a tricycle.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. Maybe with a motor. Yeah. Give me one with a motor.
He has a tricycle motor. Come on.
All right. Who else has a praise?
I'm a praise. I'm here. James, lay me praise. That.
That'll work.
Okay.
That is my praise, actually.
There you go.
Clarissa was saying.
Pop-in-law's here.
Clarissa was saying she got a flyer in the mail from, I guess, a nearby megachurch or something like that. And it said, the 11th commandment, thou shalt not bore.
Thou shalt not.
I shall not bore. Be boring.
It was an advertisement for their kids program.
All right, somebody else got to have a couple more praises. This Show Your Love Sunday. Come on, you got to have some praises. Liz, what's your praise?
God's peace in the midst of life's troubles.
He is the calm water. He's the place that you can go where there's no storm. But the thing about storms is, when the Lord's walking with you, he takes you through them, and they too shall pass.
Amen.
They do. Go ahead.
I'm back.
Okay, all right.
We missed you.
I shared it in ladies' home team, but I probably should share it here. We've been praying for my mom and Kyle, and she's just been doing a lot better. So the prayer is working. She has a peace about her. She's handling situations differently.
Yeah.
She even asked me about basic Bible truths, and I got...
What?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
What?
She asked what they were all about, and I got to tell her what they are and all the different classes.
Cool.
Wow.
We're not the
you got to know Francis to understand what a praise this is.
She was asking for, because Kyle, we were talking about Kyle and how he hadn't finished his classes. And she's like, well, what are the classes? And so it's like kind of, roundabout asking about him. And so I just praise God that he's working, that she has a peace about her now where, he's been acting a fool, but she's not acting a fool with him. So it's a praise.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's incredible. I shared praise Wednesday, but Tuesday night, in my regular schedule of Bible classes, I keep Tuesday open all time for basic Bible truth teaching. Had two saved Tuesday night. You don't get much of a better praise than that, to watch people trust Christ. It's, again, it's a statement for what the Lord does with us here in His church. Our commitment that the Lord has created, you got to give Him all credit for it, because I'd be just like everybody else if He didn't set us aside and make a difference. But I was one of those people that fell through the cracks when I wanted to be saved back at 16 years old. And they told me to pray the prayer, and I didn't understand, and they didn't bother to teach me and explain. And then I went through a very miserable 10 years. From age 16 to 26 is no fun time for any young man that doesn't have any guidance in his life and he's not in church. So I suffer today from those 10 years.
Not much better for women.
It's not any better for anybody. It's rough for everybody. But I'm here to tell you, when the Lord saved me, I was mad about it. I was angry after I realized that they had the gospel, they had the power of God unto salvation, they had the truth, and they basically denied me the truth by giving me this quick in-and-out-the-door thing and, you know, the big evangelistic meeting deal. And after I thought about it, I was pretty upset, you know, that I felt like I'd wasted 10 years of my life because of it. But later on, after another 10 or so years go by, and I'm reaching people for the Lord, and I don't let anybody fall through the cracks as there's a humanly possible way to keep them from it. God created something in me by going through that trial, that suffering time, that has made the biggest difference in my ministry of anything that's ever happened to me. So you got to say praise the Lord for that. It's just weird, but that's what He did. He created something by doing that, by allowing that. I don't suppose anything else could have happened. I actually have to praise the Lord for that nowadays, because I don't suppose I would have been really any different than any other preacher for that particular aspect of my ministry had God not put me through what He did. We saw some folks saved this week, and it was so typical. I mean, walked the aisle as a kid in a Baptist church and prayed a prayer and didn't know what you were doing and went around the rest of your whole life thinking you're saved when you're not. It happens all the time. But praise God, the Lord sent them over here, and we were able to discover it and fix it, and now they get to rejoice in the real peace of God that passes understanding. So, you know, what can I say? But praise the Lord. He is the author of all of it. We don't get to be a mega church doing that. That's okay, but we have a church filled with saved people. Amen. You go looking and see and try to find one of those somewhere. I mean, there are some. They're not that many. They're not thick like they should be. All right, no other praises, huh? All right, let's go to... Oh, okay. All right, Sean. What's your praise?
My wife got a refrigerator in the house yesterday.
Oh, your refrigerator. You've been all living out of a cooler? That's fun. For about 6 months, that's about it. All you take of that. Just thank the Lord we live in a land where ice is cheap. Exodus. We're going to get into an area this morning that you're probably going to have to find somebody smarter than me to explain it to you, because you're going to have lots of questions, and I'm not sure if I've got answers to this.
Well, we'll ask Lisa.
Yeah, do that. See how that works. That might work out fine. It's chapter 21. Now, we've already been given the Ten Commandments. You know, we call these commandments. And over in chapter 21, God lays out a lot more. I mean, they say there's 613. I have not done a personal search and count myself, because I really don't want to spend that much time doing that. But anyway, these are called judgments. God says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. So you're going to have to realize that we're in a different world, and the fact that people have masters and servants, slaves as it were, that's what the word is. Nobody wants to use that word today because it's not politically correct, but if you're a servant of the Lord and you are bought and paid for by the blood of Christ, Well, what are you going to call it?
We're slaves.
We are. Just exactly what that word says. We are a slave.
Where does Paul say that a slave in the New Testament?
Oh, there's several. Philemon was a slave owner. You're going to find it all throughout the Bible. Yeah, and people are going to want to know, well, is that right? Is it not a sin to own somebody? Or actually, everybody is involved in slavery. Did you know that? Everybody is involved in slavery. To whom you are a servant or slave, to whom you are or what you're addicted, you're a slave to that. That's why I lost people and saved people to a point are the servants of sin. And that term is slave. You tell me it's not a slavery whenever you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you reach over and the pack's empty and you have to get up and put your clothes on in the middle of the night and drive to the service station and buy you a cigarette pack and light up. You tell me that's not slavery.
Oh, praise God.
Cigarette.
I don't think I was ever that bad.
Yeah, you were. You just made sure you didn't run out. But that's just one example. There's a broad spectrum of things that are just like that. And all of us are enslaved to something. And Jesus died to set us free from those enslavements. And the only way to be free from those enslavements is to be his slave instead. Being a slave in itself is not a bad thing. It's who the master is that makes the difference.
And we can only serve one master.
You believe.
If the Bible's not looking at it that way, why does it keep talking about our master? If you've got a master, you must be a slave. You got to look at it in perspective. Yeah, I'm very thankful that in our country, it's illegal to own another person. I think that's just a wonderful thing that happened, and I don't believe God objected to that. As it were, back in the days that we're reading about, slavery was a normal and natural part of life. There are a lot of people that cannot take care of themselves. That cannot. That back there was very little education. There was very little of all the things that it takes for someone to go out and start a productive life, doing something that provides their food and raiment and clothing and all the things they need to do. And the people that could do that were very rare, and they would end up selling themselves for that. We do the same thing for the same reasons, but with the liberty to change horses in the middle of the stream if we want to. We still sell ourselves to our company we work for or to the customers we serve or to whatever, but we still get to keep the liberty to bail if we want to or change masters, as it were. But as Christians, we have one master, and that one doesn't change. Wes, then Gilbert.
Every 2 and 4 years, with our votes, we purchase our servants that swear an oath to serve us for the 2 and 4 years. And a lot of them, they think that we've treated them so well that they want to do it for another 4 years.
That's true. Gilbert?
We actually have real slavery in Libya and several other countries.
Oh, yeah, lots of places, but here.
Absolutely.
To buy particularly Christians for about $350.
Still in Africa.
Yeah. The fact is that there's underground and out of sight, there's a lot of that slavery going on right here.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, really. Organized crime, one of the biggest things they do is slavery.
Yep.
And it's usually sexual and that sort of thing. Yeah, well, not just women. It's across the board. If you knew all the stuff that's going on in your country, in your state, and in our county, you would be so appalled you wouldn't want to go out of your house.
There is a lot of pressure.
It's just that it's hidden, and it's the truth of the matter is that normal people figure out what that is if you can. don't really want to know.
They want to bury their head in the sand.
Yeah, because if we know, we, you know, it kind of obligates us to do something about it.
There's a lot of Texas ranchers who own ranches along the border who have that problem with drugs. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you travel like Gilbert does, he's all over the world from time to time. You see some things that you just didn't realize that perhaps that, I mean, they're so foreign from this country that you just don't realize what goes on in those other places. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her sons shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Well, we'll stop right there with that paragraph. What could you say about your master? Could you say, I love my master, and I will not go out free? You know, the Jubilee, the seventh year, that Jubilee teaching that we're going to get into later here. But everything reverts back to his previous owner. Everybody that's sold as a servant goes out free and that sort of thing. It just comes around regularly. The Lord has set every one of us free. You don't have a commandment to serve the Lord. This series that we're going through right now on presenting your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, is an invitation. He's inviting you to do that. It's not a command. It could be. He has every right to. He is the one who bought us with his own blood. Do you understand that you are owned by the Lord? Twice purchased? Once by virtue of creation, and secondly by the blood that he shed and bought you back from your sins. So we're twice his property. And he has every right to demand of us anything that he wants to demand of us. But he doesn't. He has basically placed us in the seventh year, like the Old Testament servant. The year you go out free. He sets us free. If the Son will set you free, the Bible said you shall be free indeed. We say, he doesn't really mean that. Yes, he does mean exactly that. Because he will not accept your service or your gratitude or your anything as an offering that you might sacrifice unto the Lord. Your bodies, present your body a living sacrifice to the Lord. God's not going to accept that which you offer because you're forced to. If it doesn't become existing out of love, he doesn't want it. What's this say? If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. I don't want to walk away and be on my own. Now, in this country, and young people particularly, that you sometimes don't have enough sense to stuff a snowbird, you know. I mean, it's just like they haven't learned much yet when it comes down to what's real and what's not. They want to be free. They want to be loose. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Were you like that? Do you remember a time in your life you were like that?
No.
And then after you suffered enough because of those stupid decisions you made, because you didn't want anybody telling you what to do, you finally figured out that you need somebody telling you what to do. I need somebody smarter than me to tell me what to do, because I'm getting sick and tired of making the same mistakes over and over and over, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, which never happened. I need somebody to tell me what to do. Then when you realize who Jesus is, you realize what the Bible is, you realize what his commandments are for, you realize that his interest is loving you and for you, not ever against you. And as Christians, we still make a lot of stupid decisions, right? But it's not because we don't know better now. We do know better. We just let the flesh get the reins sometimes, you know, instead of the spirit. So choosing what you're going to do for the Lord, choosing who your master is going to be. Now, sometimes we want to do this in stages. Well, I want Jesus to be my master on Sunday. Well, it's really not funny, is it? No, I mean, if he's your master, he's not just your master here. He's your master out there.
Yeah.
Wes, go ahead.
You know, I've seen the scripture, and I hear most often, if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. But I've also read there's one dramatic difference. There's one word. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's when he has created in you a new person.
Well, both are talking about the same event.
The Son therefore shall make you free. He is.
Well, if you look those up, they're probably the same Greek word, but it won't really. It definitely, he sets you free. Definitely, he makes you free, literally. Usually, you know, when this seventh year comes here and this servant gets to go out free, I wonder how long it takes between the day he gets to go out free and the day he says, I love my master, I will not go out free.
What, he's at the door?
Here's what I'm thinking. You know, as a pastor, it seems like when people get set free, they want to go try it for a while. As Christians, they want to go test the water a little bit, you know, and see just how much the Lord will put up with. I don't know how many people in here are guilty of that, but I won't ask you to raise your hand like some of you already have. But anyway, Gilbert, go ahead.
The slavery element had evolved afterwards into the Greek culture. I presume it's probably something similar. They create an attachment or a setting to be enslaved. The custom for the Greeks in those eras afterwards were able to buy people or own them and train them and educate them. And then they became their attorneys, they became their doctors, and they were in family.
They were made part of the family.
Yes, but they were enslaved and they were owned.
That's just like us, isn't it? We've been made part of the family. Yet we are owned just as sure as the world.
But we are sons and daughters.
But that's because we've been made part of the family. Yeah. And look at what he's made out of us. What's he made out of you since you became part of the family? Any changes? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if the servant went out on his own and he was out there for a month or so, and then it reminds me of the prodigal son. Reminds me of that, you know. Set free. He said, I want to be free. Dad said, okay, here you go. Well, I want my inheritance. Okay, here you go. And he loved him. He's willing to do that. Jesus did exactly that same thing for us. He not only set us free, we still have the blessings. Oh, if you disobey God, he's going to take away all your blessings. You haven't lived as a child of God very long, if you think that. Because that's not what he does. Sometimes he'll make you ashamed that you have done the way you've done and still get those blessings. But go ahead, Gilbert.
There's one more impact because of the fact that you're still... This is the beginning of the Exodus. They're not even out there for years yet.
Oh, yeah.
But and these people whom are these laws being applied to have the mentality of being in Egypt and wanting to go back to eat the Egyptian foods. And they're still enslaved in their mind.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely right. Well, this master brings him to the judges, and he shall bring him to the door. Under the doorpost, and his master bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Oh, it's just piercing his ears. The ladies do it all the time. Not a big deal.
A little different.
Ah!
It's a little slower.
Yeah. Well, somebody good at it, you just, you know, would tap it in there, I guess.
Hit it with a rock.
I don't know. Some of you have to give yourself shots and stuff. You're tougher than you realize sometimes.
Some people get bigger things than...
Verse 7, if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. 7 years comes around, she doesn't get set free to walk out on her own. She has to stay. If she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself. Now, this is an assumption that the man bought the maidservant to be a wife.
Be your wife. Eventually.
How much did you pay for your wife, Sean? See, in America, we don't do it this way. We buy our wives on an installment plan. And we just pay and we pay and we just keep paying.
Hey, it works the other way around.
I thought I'd get a little noise out of that.
I was thinking about the weather myself.
Oh, man. Oh. I don't know if I can teach this class today or not. This is just, this is way out of my pay grade right here. I'll tell you. He calls her a maidservant. That's an interesting concept for a wife. That sounds pretty good to some of us. No?
Only the male kind.
Yeah, eventually a wife.
Well, if your wife's with you, you can't admit it, but anyway, go ahead. Well, somebody else tell on you. Go ahead, Erica.
It's a little off key, but it kind of goes, when I hear maidservant, my grandpa used to tell me, and I was 20 years old, he says, young lady, don't you think you're getting to be an old maid and you should get married and have some kids?
Oh, that's when you turn 14.
If you'll just look at the language here, there's maidservants and there's men servants. All it means is she's a woman. Everybody's a servant. It's really not just a category for ladies and, you know, where you get to walk 10 steps behind and make sure you get all the laundry done and all that stuff. But anyway, if she please not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. She didn't go out free. She doesn't just get set on the street and walked away from. She can be redeemed by her family. They can buy her back.
That's right.
Then he shall let her be redeemed. To sell, listen to this, to sell her under a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. So this guy has bought her to be his wife, and he's changed his mind because there's something about her he doesn't like now. Not that any of us have ever discovered anything about our wives later that we didn't like.
Well, maybe she,
never, you know.
Drove a big nose.
God says he's dealt deceitfully with her, and if he hath betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. Now, there's a whole other section on what you do with daughters. And if he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. Now, here we go again with the multiplicity of wives. It's called polygamy here. And if he do not these three unto her, what are the three? One is her food, the other is her raiment, and her duty of marriage. And I ain't touching that today. I'm just going to leave it alone and let you figure it out, and you can go Google it or something if you want to, but it's obvious what we're talking about here. And if he do not these three, then shall she go out free without money. She doesn't get an inheritance or a settlement. But she's now divorced. And over in Deuteronomy, you'll see some rules about that and how that works. Jesus said, by the way, he said, Moses gave you the law of divorcement because of the hardness of your hearts. Because in the beginning, it was not so. These are the judgments that the rulers, that the judges, who are the judges now? We found out 2 chapters ago when Jethro was visiting. Who's the judges? People are appointed over 10,000 and thousands and hundreds and fifties and so on and so forth. And so they have to go. And the judges are responsible to administer these things according to these rules. Now, laws about murder and injury are going to be a little easier to talk about. And he that smiteth a man, You ever smitten anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Now, we use the word a little differently. Well, we see a guy that's got his arm around a girl, like Zach was there this morning. Oh, we say, well, he's smitten with her.
Hey, that's my sister, man.
I know. That's not what it means, is it? It doesn't mean she punched him out. When the Bible says if he smiteth a man so that he die, it means he cold cocked him. It means he hit him with something or his fist. But God gets into the details on that. He shall surely be put to death. If a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. Now later you're going to find once they're in the land, God's going to appoint cities of refuge. That when somebody kills somebody, whether it be in self-defense or whatever, the man that defends himself is not going to be guilty of murder. He's going to be let go, but he's still got the family who wants to take his life over what he did to their kid. And so God appoints cities of refuge that he can go there and nobody can touch him, that the avenger can't get him. But he can't leave. And if he does, he's on his own. He's risking his life and usually will end up forfeiting his life if he does that.
Yeah, thank God after 7 years or if the high priest dies first.
If a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile. What's that mean, presumptuously? Premeditated. It means he planned it. To slay him with guile, with anger, with he's mad at him. Thou shalt take him from mine altar, that he may die. And he smitest his father or his mother shall be put to death. There's one you need to teach your kids.
Yeah.
He that smiteth his father or his mother, under the Old Testament law, would be put to death. Now that's not talking about kills her. That's talking about hits her. You hit your mom, you hit your dad, they take you out, and everybody picks up a big rock, and they keep throwing them until you're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the law of what's right and wrong. I don't care how good the food is, don't ever slap your mama. Okay?
I don't know where that ever came from.
I don't know either. I have no idea where that came from. That's crazy. But it doesn't matter how good the food is, you just refrain from doing that.
I think it came from a movie.
Probably. Well, it had to be an old movie because it's been around for years and years. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, that's what's happened in the slavery that's going on in this country right now. Or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. A little enforcement of some of these things might slow that practice down a bit, you know? And he that curses his mother or his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You don't have to hit her. All you have to do is badmouth her a little bit. And if men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then he that smote him shall be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Now that doesn't say that he's going to die. What his punishment is whatever the judges say once he goes before the judges, which could be about anything, I suppose. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. Don't ask me to explain that. It means he's his property. It's talking about slavery here. It's talking about him being his property. Does the Lord ever take the life of his property? Every graveyard you ever drove by says he does. Before Adam sinned, were there graveyards? Was there death? No, there was no death. Sin brings death. If you get in a fight with somebody, of course, none of you have ever done that. Usually when you're a teenager, that's when it starts. You got a bully you have to deal with. And you smite the guy with a stone or with his fist. You know, if big guy picks on little guy and he can't defend himself, His recourse is usually a stick or a rock or something to even it up. You know, in the Old West, they said Mr. Colt made everybody equal or something like that. So, you know, it kind of came to that. But it says if any die, he shall surely be punished. Even if the guy started it with you, even if it was self-defense, you don't strike out to kill somebody. You value life even if it's in a fight. That's kind of a strange situation there, you know, because there are all kinds of scenarios where this could apply, and some of them would seem reasonable, some of them would seem not reasonable. And that's what all these, imagine having to be one of the judges that had to decide the penalty and the punishment for who, you know, who was responsible and who wasn't and all of that stuff. Our judges today still have that problem, trying to figure it out, who did what and when and who really was the guilty party or the instigator of whatever happened. It's no lightweight matter. Even the law of God doesn't pin things down so specifically that it's just a cut and dried thing. If he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. This next one, I'm in favor of this being reinstated in our land. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. I hate to ask you, but you understand what that means when it says if mischief follow? You on the same page with that?
Yeah, the miscarriage.
Well, it's talking about sexual assault here. That's what this is talking about. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. This is probably the most well-known scripture in the Old Testament. Eye for an eye. All kind of people know that verse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, and shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If I had a bad master, I might think about giving up a tooth to get out of there. Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me inject something here, too, with reiterate with Joseph, when his brother sold him to slavery. There's no documentation, but it's sort of understood that after 3 years of slavery, Pharaoh gave him a pardon and put him as that lead and head of Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Redemption on that one. It's just the Lord redeemed Joseph through Pharaoh.
Sure did. Now, listen up. This one's going to be very relative to us. It seems like every redneck in Texas wants to have a bulldog. And if he's mean, they like him all the better. Bulldogs and Rottweilers and Dobermans, there are several breeds of dogs that are prone to turning on people and prone to doing great damage to humans. There are penalties for what your dog does that you're responsible for. I guess I ought to look up today's law and just see how it reads, but God's law is pretty clear here. Back then, pretty much everybody had to have an ox to pull the cart and to carry the load and to plow the field and to do all those things. Oxen are extremely strong. I mean, they are like three horses or something, you know, when it comes to just brute strength. Horses are extremely strong, but the sex of an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. You know, I was thinking about that from a practical standpoint. You know how big a rock you got to pick up to kill an ox? I mean, that's no lightweight job to do that. Now, the owner's not charged here.
Unless he knew.
But then the next verse says, if this ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it has been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but he that hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner shall also be put to death.
Yeah,
buddy.
I can't help it what my ox did. Well, you better help it.
You got a couple of witnesses saying that you could have.
If you got an ox that likes to attack people, I grew up in the country. And when we were out walking cross country to some place, because we didn't have cars to drive or bicycles to ride, and sometimes we'd have cross pasture. And very often, almost always there's a bull in that pasture. And some of those bulls are not little nice guy, gentle bulls. Some of them are downright mean. And if you've ever been put on a fence by a bull behind you, breathing down your neck, you can kind of relate to what he's talking about in here. Of course, if you're a crazy teenager and you want to get out there and see if you can beat the bull to the fence, that's kind of dumb, but that has been done before, by the way. Not by anybody I know, you understand, but...
Yeah, right.
But that has been done before to see if you could actually, you know, make it to the fence before he got there. If you've got a dog that tends to bite people, what should you do with that dog?
Have him retrained.
You're either going to have to build something big enough that he absolutely cannot possibly get out of, or you need to just take your .22 out there and deal with it, and then cry about it later and get over it, and don't get another bad dog. You want to get yourself in trouble. You want to have trouble like you have never had, and lawsuits and misery and time. You let your critter get out and hurt some kid, some little baby. Not only you got to live with what you did, you're going to have trouble like you've never had before. So you don't take chances with critters that hurt people. I mean, you know, Old Testament law is really not all that impractical most of the time. There are things about it that every one of us need to understand and use in our life. Things like this is just very practical here. And the ox is not the only thing that hurts people. There are other critters, you know. I don't really hear much about the Israelites keeping dogs. You know, they kept a lot of sheep. It only seemed natural that they'd have a dog, you know. I figured they did, but I don't remember seeing any of them or any of them really when I was in Israel. So I need to read up on that.